Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know if it'll play or not. It's supposed to be playing. Hi. This is Elizabeth from the Best Ever You Show. I don't think our... Oh, there it goes.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online too at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
And welcome, everyone. I am having a good giggle with my guest today, Michelle Phillips. She's the author of The Beauty Blueprint and The Beauty Blueprint Show on Hay House Radio, because today is just kind of delayed, isn't it?
Yes.
Just like the intro, it's just sort of going. And we're both in mommy mode today, so we were going to talk about strong, successful, and sexy, but let's go with sexy first. How are you feeling? Are you feeling all sexy over there? I don't know.
Oh, just completely sexy in my yoga pants after running and gunning, getting kids off to school, and then one called from the office and said, can you pick me up? I'm sick. And so, you know, you just, like with the beginning of the radio show, you just go with it.
Yeah, you do, don't you? It's just one of those days. And we're both, I don't know about you, but I have my hair, it is, I don't know, squarely maybe on the top of my head. I have a square head. Yeah, I do. But it is really sitting up in one of those ponytails on top of my head. I have my yoga pants on, my tennis shoes, no makeup, which, ooh, you know, we are with you and you know your makeup and everything. And What do you think about these days? Is it okay to have these kind of days?
Absolutely. In fact, I feel that, you know, there's so much emphasis in our society to look a certain way that, you know, I'm teaching women, primarily women. Of course, I have some male followers too, but I'm teaching women to really just tap into life and who you are and really expressing that through your image, meaning, you know, if it's a go with it day and you're a mommy mode, rock it, you know, it's who we are. It's our life that brings us this meaning and value and not feeling so pressured to not even look a certain way, but to perform a certain way. You know, there's times when you just put so much pressure on yourself to, you know, make sure everything's you know, coming together so perfectly sometimes, especially when you're a woman and you're juggling life, that we really, you know, need to just let go and go with it and, you know, live in the moment and not worry about things so much.
Yeah, and how many, okay, you're a mama, and how many kids do you have?
I have three of my own and two stepkids, so I'm a mom of five. Yeah. And, they're all teenagers. So talking about go with it, they are my biggest teachers, for sure. You know, they mirror back to me all the time, you know, who I am, and also, you know, all their different personalities are so different, even though I've raised them the same, that they teach me every day more and more about what life's really about and the meaning of life. It's really the kids and my family.
Now, how many girls and how many boys are in that mix?
So we've got three girls and two boys. So the boys are 19 and 18, and the girls are 17, 14, and 13.
Yep, you've got a house full. That is for sure. Now, what was that? I'm going to keep going in mommy mode for a minute, because I think it's important right now, because every mom right now, either right now, today, yesterday, or last week, we all put our kids back to school, to college, to high school, to some kids. I know there's some people on Facebook whose kids started kindergarten today.
I know.
It's adorable. But there's a lot of work that goes into getting a child ready for school, isn't there? It's amazing.
There is a lot of work, absolutely. And, you know, more importantly is getting them mentally prepared.
Yeah.
If they're under so much pressure, more pressure than we were as kids growing up, and so, you know, really trying to support them in what they're going through with the peer pressure, with what their dreams are, what they want out of life, and you know, tapping into that and creating that communication, you know, that open communication, especially with teenagers, because, if we don't have that open line of communication, that's when things can happen, and all of a sudden we say, oh my goodness, what happened here? You know, with my kids, I just all this, you know, sometimes things will come up and I'm thinking, why didn't they talk to me? And so, you know, in today's society, it's very challenging. They're exposed to a lot. They, you know, I don't know about you, but my kids, they Google everything and they feel like what they read is the truth. And what they see on TV is the truth. Yeah. And we've got reality TV. And, you know, when it comes to self-esteem, which is what I teach, helping people build their self-esteem, that's a big one right now with kids, even younger kids. There's a lot of pressure, and they really do compare themselves to others a lot. And so they, you know, mirroring what they see at home, it's, you know, it's, we're the ones that are their biggest teachers.
Well, I have four boys, and everybody says, oh, you know, you're so lucky that you don't have to deal with all the issues that girls have to deal with, teenage girls have to deal with. You've got boys. And, you know, I'm not quite sold on that. I think boys get it, too.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely see that in the boys. And they're under just as much pressure and scrutiny.
Athletics?
And, I'm sorry?
Athletics, especially like if you've got a boy who's not as good at sports or something like that. I see it. Athletics, clothes, money to do stuff, the car they drive, you know, all these different things. They get it. Just, they might not get it clothing-wise. Girls seem to get picked on for clothes.
Yes, and, you know, but they do have, you know, body image.
Oh, yeah, there's another one,
Yeah, because we're watching movies now where these boys or young men in movies, I mean, they're ripped in terms of, you know, their bodies, their muscles, and you know, they look like, you know, well, basically, they look like something that is really not very attainable to everyone. I mean, they've got just, you know, these perfect bodies. They have trainers and things that they work out with, you know, for example, in some of these superhero movies, whereas we think back to when we were kids and we were watching Superman. I mean, he didn't look like that. A very handsome man, but his body wasn't like that. And so, you know, they are trying to keep up with that as well. And also, you know, I'm with my son, who just turned 18 last week. He's feeling a lot of pressure and wanting to figure out what it is that he needs to do in life right now. You know, and I'm trying to explain to him that that takes time. And if you don't know who you want to be when you grow up, that's okay. Enjoy your life. Enjoy being a kid. And so there's that balance there that I feel boys are under a tremendous amount of pressure as well. It's just our society now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've got the same. I've got a 17-year-old boy, and he's trying to figure it all out too. You know, I'm going to go to medical school and be a sports doctor, and you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, well, you got it all figured out, don't you?
Kind of wow, that's really good.
But well, no, but you know. I think about that and how many times you change between now and that final thing sometimes, you know, and I said the same thing to him. I'm like, you know, you have a little bit of time here. You don't have to have every answer at 17 years old.
That's
funny.
Right. And, you know, it's great he has a vision, but that, you know, what comes to mind when you say that is how, you know, we as adults, we are multitasking and taking on so much that I feel that, you know, our kids sometimes now are following in our footsteps. I remember a coach that I worked with recently, I was telling her about my daughter, who's very similar to what you're sharing with your son. Mm-hmm. She's got so many things that she's involved in and so many things she wants to do. And I was sharing that with this coach, and she said, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? She's following in your footsteps. Oh. And I went, whoa. You know, because you know, I do tend to take on so much because I love my work so much, and then I've got so much with my family that it made me take a step back and say, wow, I need to also really focus on my balance and share that with my daughter to try to help her create more balance because, you know, they do, they can take on too much at such a young age and then, you know, end up becoming what we're teaching, and that is, you know, overwhelmed, and now how do I find balance in my life later rather than sooner? So it's really important that we share the methodology of creating that balance in our lives with our kids, too.
You know, I think that's brilliant. That speaks to the successful part as well because so many women think that success is taking on, you know, a family, a a job, another job, all these different things, and being perfect looking, and working out, and having the cookies baked when everybody arrives at home, and making dinner, and then, going to sleep on a bed of roses or something. I'm not quite sure
right. What
the vision is exactly. But what you said there is so important, because the multitasking part of this whole thing, and you just talked about role modeling is where I'm going with it.
Yes, exactly. And, when we are, walking around with our superwoman cape on all the time, which is exactly what you just shared, which was a big part of my life for a long time. And then I still have time periods, where I'm wearing that superwoman cape. And when I do, though, I become so depleted that things start to unravel. And that's when you have to take a step back and say, whoa, wait a second. And to try to achieve that quote-unquote perfect life is, it's really working against yourself, because there's no such thing. So it's about letting go what's not serving you and really taking a good look at, okay, what is my vision for my life, for my family, but me personally and then professionally, and how can I recognize what's not going to work and where am I putting my energy that's not serving me? Because sometimes I feel like, we have this syndrome where we are afraid to say no and to disappoint other people or even ourselves. And it's really important we learn to say no and understand and trust that everything will work out no matter what. So, not to take on the world. Yeah.
Well, about August every year, I kind of do this start, stop, continue thing. And I think for the month of August and then in September, I kind of implement what I've thought about. And that is sort of to control. I'm kind of the same way. I can go off in 10 different directions and try and be successful at all 10 at once. And in the end, it's just exhausted Elizabeth. Really,
right.
Come around December, I'm like, I don't want a Christmas shop. I'm so tired. I just want to sleep or whatever.
Right.
and you're just exhausted from it. And I'm kind of adopting the philosophy of less is way more. I really
mm-hmm.
am. I am going to, in the new year, focus. And I don't do New Year in January. I do New Year like August, September, and think about what I'm going to do for 2013 right about now. And I always think, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And this year, instead of having a list of like 50,000 things, it's got like three.
That is fantastic. So true. And I love that you're visiting that now. Why do we need to wait till the new year? And after summer, when we've kind of let go and had some fun and spent some time with kids, or if we don't have kids, we at least, maybe have gotten out and gone on vacation and just taken some time out for ourselves. You're right. It is a fantastic time to revisit and, clear out the clutter, get clear on your vision and what that is for you moving forward, because now is a time where, I know, I think there's a lot of movement in the fall, and I think there's a lot of momentum being built up with holidays and things coming up. It's a good time to really focus on that.
But it's making, and here's the strong part, it's what's making me feel stronger and more in control instead of kind of willy-nilly out of control, trying to do so many things and make, on any given day, just with owning a website, I could make a list of 100 things I need to change on that website. Then go
right.
over to kids, and there's 1,000 things I could do with kids, from laundry to straightening up their rooms to making brownies to volunteering. There's 1,000
mm-hmm.
things to do in a day. And, I'm kind of doing – my first one is kids first. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's number one on the list, kids first. Always just kids first. And so if – for example, like before we went on the air, we were going an email like, do we need to make this a 2-hour show? And you and I were like,
yes.
It's first.
Exactly. Running to doctor's appointments and doing things. And absolutely, the kids come first. And but also taking care of ourselves first, because
yeah.
we're not going to be able to take good care of our kids if we're not okay.
Yeah.
But when you were talking about that being strong and really focusing on what's important, that's the reason I wrote my book, The Beauty Blueprint, is because, as working as a celebrity makeup artist with people for 18 years, know, people would sit in my chair and they'd tell me what's wrong with their lives or what's wrong with their looks, rather than what's right about their lives or what's right about how they look. And so that's why I got into life coaching and became a life coach, because, you know, the tools that I received and that I share in my book to really get clear about what it is that you want and what it is you don't want. When you get clear about that, it's almost as if, you know, I've heard this term a million times, but it's just coming to me right now, peeling back the layers of the onion and just saying, you know what, let me shed some of this stuff and start really living according to what I want. But we can't get there until we let go of some of the things that we don't want anymore. And many of us are holding on to things that we don't want. And it's very simple, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. It's
no,
just,
it's like
a simple strategy.
Have you ever thrown out your favorite pair of shoes because they're old?
Yes.
How painful.
Yes, I have.
Just that one tiny little silly thing. It's brutal, isn't it? I'm not kidding. I've got a pair of shoes upstairs. They are my favorite sandals. I have had them for years. They are breathing their last breath up there right now. It is fall.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's true, because that's probably one of the most difficult things. At the end of my book, I give you a complete step-by-step guide on how to clean out your closet and organize it like a professional had come into your home.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the last chapter of my book, because the first seven chapters is all about your life and you and defining who you are and what you want and then helping you create the action steps to actually change your life for the better. But when it comes to, okay, now how do we want to project that through our image, we need to start looking, you know, in our closet and saying, first of all, I have nothing to wear, which means I have nothing appropriate to wear. And the next thing is we open our closets and we look at all these guilt garments, I call them, you know, things that make us feel bad. Oh, you know, that outfit that I've been, you know, I've had in my closet because I'm waiting to lose the 10 pounds, or those shoes I just can't get, you know, can't let go of, but they're taking up room in my closet. And so I always have people go through this process, and it's probably one of the most difficult things that people go through. But once you do it and you let go, and this is for you, not only your closet but your life,
mm-hmm.
you are making room for new things to come. And when you get organized and get, you know, take inventory of your life and the material things in your life, oh my gosh, the freedom that you have afterwards is phenomenal. You know, it's just like going through your garage or something, cleaning it all out. It takes
we're
time.
We're shoe hounds. Yeah, we're shoe hounds. So we're using the shoe metaphor, but exactly what I meant is, like, you know, this it can be a pair of shoes, or it can be a relationship that is not so great, or it can be a job that's not so great. I mean, there can be so many different things that you need to clear out to make room for something new to happen to you, or for not even happen to you, but for you to make happen.
Exactly. So true. Yes. And so it's, you know, write down. I always ask people to write down what it is that you want, and then write down what you don't want, and really get clear with that, and then start cleaning out the clutter in your life, the physical stuff and the mental stuff. So true.
Okay, here's an example. I have a cat outside, right? It is it's a cat. It's outside. It used to be inside, but use this however you want to use it, but it can't be inside anymore. It doesn't get along with the two other cats, and it absolutely hates the dog, so it's outside. This cat is peeing, I hate that word, all over the front entrance to our house, like the garage, or it's just destroying, like, the outside of the house now, kind of thing. And my husband and I are looking at each other going, we've got to do something with this cat. We've got to give the cat to the shelter. We've got to find it a family. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. But do you know how brutally painful it is?
Oh, I'm sure.
But those types of things, you know, people are faced with decisions like this all of the time. And they don't make you feel so strong, and they don't make you feel so successful, and they don't make you feel so sexy when you're sitting there making a hard decision.
Yes, so true.
And so what do you do?
I know. And so that's when you write down what all of your options are. I mean, obviously, if it's something you feel strongly about, then, you know, possibly giving your kitty to a home to where someone else would, you know, really love that cat and in their home, and they don't have any other animals for that cat to you know, compete with, will give your kitty a better home and bring love into someone else's home. Or, you know, there's other options. But, yeah, it's, and I think a lot of times, though, what many of us don't do is take action and really sit down and think about, okay, what, let's get underneath all of this. What is really that needs to happen here so that way everybody benefits? And
there's
and
where
then
I'm
what
trying
can
to go.
We do? Yeah, because if we don't take action, we just sit there and think about it or feel bad about it or hold on to that and harbor it, that's when it really starts to, you know, it starts to weigh on us and our lives become more difficult and we feel these negative feelings and we feel sad and we feel overwhelmed or we feel stuck. And so, you know, it's
stuck
really
is a great
important
word.
That we you know, stuck is what so many of my clients say that they feel when they come to me, or lost. And I get that because I've been there and, you know, really in a difficult place in my life to where, you know, I was going underneath the covers in my bed saying, you know what, I don't even know what to do. I feel so overwhelmed. And I was, you know, in a very, very, you know, form of depression because I'd lost everything in my life and gone through a horrible divorce. And I just felt like I had lost me. But when you say, okay, wait a second here, it's time for me to take charge of my life. And that means really waking up to what the reality is. And that is that we can create anything we want in our life. We just have to take action and we have to reach out for support. You know, for example, with your kitty cat, you know, maybe calling other people at shelters or talking to friends about, you know, different options. Maybe someone else would be happy to take the kitty in. Just creating that movement will start to release some of those fears of feeling lost and stuck, so where you can come up with a solution to where then, you know, everything comes out so much better. And ultimately, that's what it's about, is just finding ways to have that better feeling and to, you know, and to start taking charge of our lives. And, you know, that's what Strong, Successful, and Sexy is about. It's about, you know, standing in our power. And, you know, so many people say, oh, if you're strong, then you're, like, excuse my French, a biatch. You know, it's not about that. It's
about saying,
this is important to me. And you know what? Rather than hiding underneath the covers, how can I make a change today? And that change is possible. We can either fight it or embrace it.
Well, here's, let me go back to the cat for a minute, because stuck is a great word, because what we did with this kitty cat is, you know, we created like a haven for it, a beautiful like outside house in the garage. It's got a cat condo. It's got a cat door. It's got food up everywhere, you know, everything. But the cat, when it comes down to it, no matter what, I'm scared the cat's outside. I'm scared it's going to get eaten by something. You know, my husband's like, it's fine, you know, kind of thing. And then it gets mad that it's not in the house. So it piddles by the back door. And it just is mad all the time. And but I'm sitting, and you feel stuck, because I feel stuck on this, because it's like, I don't want to go to a cat shelter and give the cat up. I'm a person who gets cats from shelters and saves them. It's, you know, all three of my cats are rescue cats, kind of thing. So I'm trying to find a family for the cat. It needs to, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, just a little thing like that can ripple into your life.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, what I hear is guilt, too, because so many of us are really guilty.
Guilt.
Oh, there's so much guilt attached to many of our everyday, you know, things that come up. I don't want to say issues, but things come up, and then when we really need to make a decision, you know, guilt comes up, and we feel bad, and then we're stuck. And so letting go of the guilt is very difficult, but it's also removing ourselves from the situation and saying, what's the greater good for all concerned? You know, what can I do to make good out of this situation? And no matter what, I feel like if you come from that place, then you can't make a mistake. If you're coming
from
that place of love. Yeah, it's just,
I really love what you just said, because it comes from a place of love, not a place of guilt. And I love that. If you're faced with the decision, what's the greater good for all concerned? because I think so many of us women live in stuck in guilt land with with a variety of things.
Right, right. Because we've been raised to be the good girl, do the right thing, you know, which is good. I mean, the wonderful thing about being a woman is that we have such a nurturing, you know, loving, kind heart, you know, hearts, because we come from, you know, being mothers and caretakers and nurturers. And so with everything we do, we want to nurture and take care of others. Sometimes, though, that can be at the expense of ourselves and also that guilt that comes with that. And so for many of us, it's really important that we get underneath that guilt or get underneath the fear, or even because what happens is next thing you know, we're in anger mode, or we're, you know, we're upset, and it's because we're stuck between, and, you know, I keep saying that word stuck, but we do get stuck between, you know, what we should do and what we could do. And so, you know, what can we do, like I said, from a place of love, from a place of kindness, that will help others but take the guilt away? You know, even if a lot of that is journaling, I have my clients journal, you know, really write down what you're feeling, because when it is in our heads, it swirls around and becomes bigger than it should. And so, for example, in the process of my book, you know, I have people write down what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what their fears are, what their what ifs are, you know, what if I give the kitty away and he or she doesn't go to the right home? What if I end up giving this kitty back to a shelter and, you know, then I feel so horrible? You know, there's all these things that come up. But what if you take the steps to find a home for the right kitty, and, I mean, for the kitty, and he or she, is it a boy or girl?
A girl kitty, of course. Yes, makes it
girl. If she finds the right home for her, you know, because what I think, this, you know, what's coming up for me are relationships we have with other people. You know, which you can compare with, like, even an animal. A lot of times we're in relationships with people that we don't want to let go of, but we know that it's not the right match for us. And releasing that person is really hard to do, but then sometimes maybe that person is supposed to go on to find someone else that better suits them, and maybe we need to be free to find a better match for us too. But how can we even know that that exists if we're not willing to let go and just bless that person with love, and no matter what you've been through with them, and just say, you know what, something is telling me it's time to move on, which that's kind of what I feel is happening for you, just from what you're sharing with me, is that there's, you know, there's something telling you it's time to help that kitty find a new home. And so, you know, letting go of the guilt and looking at it from a different perspective of what serves everyone in this situation. So that way you don't feel stuck and guilty anymore.
You know, I just love that. And I love that whatever we're talking about translates into whatever scenario you want to apply it to, whether it's a cat. You know, the skills that we're trying to teach right now transfer to whatever scenario that you're thinking of, because I love your what if as well. And for those of you listening, if I just want to talk a little bit about you too. I didn't give you a full bio at the beginning of the show because we've had you on the show a few times, and I know people were really looking forward to this. But you can go to michellephillips.com, and that's the portal to everything that Michelle does. It's her book. It's her show on Hay House. It's everything. And why Michelle is here today is because, you know, you've grown to be just such a great friend, and I've never met you yet. I'm dying to meet you. But we talk on the phone or we talk in email or whatever, and when I listen to you on your radio show, you have just you have this incredible knack for somebody saying, hey, I got a cat who's stuck outside, what do I do? And you take the person through these skills. It's, you teach skills that apply. You know, you say stuck, lost, guilt, love, what if, and where I'm going with that is you have such a grace and elegance about you, but an incredible knack to deal in an empathetic and sympathetic way with people. It's just a skill, and you can hear it in your voice. Your voice changes. Like your voice went, with the kitty, and then, okay, wait, we're going to, you know, kind of thing. And I think it's really, really neat. And, you know, I hope people really benefit from what we're talking about today, because you can live your life and this is your new motto and slogan and whole grounds for everything that you're going to do moving forward for I don't know how long, but the strong, successful, and sexy, that's not a best ever you thing. That's a Michelle thing and the basis for a lot of the things that you're going to be doing and achieving over the next year or 2 years or whatever. That strong, successful, and sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And helping people really be that, it's just amazing. And then when's your show on Hay House? When can people tune into that and how do they go there and all that, just so people can...
Thank you. Yeah, my show is Tuesday at, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, and it's on hayhouseradio.com. And if you go to my website, you can click on the Hay House Radio icon and you can listen to archived shows. But, yeah, I'm on every week for an hour, and I coach people live when they call in. And, you know, it's interesting. I started off my career as a makeup artist working behind the scenes of television and film, movies, everything. And I felt like it was more important to help people feel good about themselves rather than just look good, because the people that shined the most on camera were the people that really were in touch with who the essence and the core of who they are. And as I worked more and more with people, I found that, myself included, you know, we were all looking to really just be in touch with who we are and what we really want, but we get so jaded with what we're supposed to be doing according to society or our parents or friends or whatever. And so when I dove into life coaching, I created my own program based on my life and my client's life on how I began to live according to my values and my passions and my dreams, despite every person in my world telling me that what I was doing was crazy, that I should stick to, a real job. And you know,
I've never had that said to me before, ever, Michelle.
No, exactly.
Never.
You know, and so, but this is the thing. The bottom line is that no matter what happens in my life or my career, I have a freedom of knowing in the core of what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, it gets scary at times. And, you know, I have, I'm not without issues in my own life. But if you are still in touch with who you are and have a good relationship with yourself, you'll always be okay. And that's what I've learned the most, is that the one person you have to live with for the rest of your life is yourself.
Yep.
And if you don't love yourself, then it's going to be really darn hard. And so, you know, really surrounding yourself with positive people and taking stock in what's fabulous about you rather than what's wrong with you. And so that's what I really try to do, is I try to help people just tap into the beauty of who they are and help, with my coaching programs. I've had this past year of coaching programs where I've taken probably 50 women through my program, and their lives have changed profoundly, and it's not because just the tools that I give them. It's the support that they've gotten from other women, and I just can't even tell you how so many people have lost weight. They have better relationships. They found the job of their dreams because they just allowed themselves they gave themselves permission to live their life according to who they are. And, you know, it's so profound. It's absolutely incredible to watch that happen to other people. And in turn, I grow more every time I'm working with anyone, just even if it's a call on a radio show, just to ignite that light in someone.
Well, and the other thing too, is you're not a destroyer of women. You're a builder of them, and sometimes that's hard to find. I know when I first approached you, I'm like, when you meet a new woman, you're like, okay, this is going to be, sometimes we go gray, black or white, we're like, this is either going to be good or bad, kind of thing. And sometimes it gets really scary, especially if you compete slightly, or you both have radio shows, or you both have a website or whatever, and you're like, okay. And what I love about you is you're not a destroyer of women. You are, how can I help you? You don't ever say, and here's how you can help me too, kind of thing.
Right. Oh, no.
You're not, one of my sayings that I'm coming to really despise is win-win for some reason, because I just like to help people. And I'm not sitting there going, okay, and how are you going to help me win too, kind of thing. And you're that way too. You're just like, you know what, if I can give to you and it makes you smile and it makes your life better, here.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, I just want to say to you that, you know, we mirror each other, so right back at you, because that's, you know, that's why you and I think, have become such good friends. Because, yeah. You know, it really, I also teach people that, you know, people who surround you mirror who you are. And there was a point in my life, like 7 or 8 years ago, where I had a lot of negative friends. I had a lot of fearful friends. I had a lot of people in my life that were very different from where I am now. And that's because I was fearful and I was negative and I was living, you know, I was in a marriage I wasn't happy in, and I was kind of living, I was pretty much hiding out and not living my life the way that I really wanted to. And as soon as I decided that I was going to change and really live my life according to who I really am and not what I'm pretending to be, is when all of those negative people, in fact, some of them are still my friends, but, you know, they went and found somebody else to engage in the negativity, and now they don't get negative around me because they know that that's just not, I'm not going to go into that mode with them anymore. And I stepped into a whole new set of friends, and even my family shifted because, you know, people, like I said, if you want to make change in your life, it starts with you. And if you start to make those positive changes, everyone and everything that you've ever wanted will come into your life. You just have to let go of what's not serving you. And that's what I did. And like I said, it wasn't easy, but it was awesome. You know, and even in my life now, I mean, I'm still having things that have happened where, you know, relationships are changing. But you just have to realize that as you grow and evolve, as long as you're feeling like you're staying true to you, everything will be okay. You know, everything will be okay. So
no,
I thank you for that.
Yeah, oh, you're welcome. And thank you, too, because you've been a phenomenal person to learn from and grow with and stuff. And I've totally enjoyed getting to know you. So it's going to be cool, all the things we do in our lifetime.
I know.
But, you know, I want to ask you that we have 20 minutes left, just so you know. And
okay.
I know we're a little scattered still. And it's
going
it's
by
okay
fast.
Because,
I know.
Yeah, it is. I know. I'm like panicking on time. I'm like, we're supposed to do
we should
two
just
hours.
Have our own radio show, Elizabeth. We'll do another one.
We'll do more fun. And that's all good. But, okay, so we touched a little bit on Well, what were we talking about? We were talking about the kitty cat, of course, and everything. But where I wanted to go with it was if you feel stuck and if you feel lost and if you feel like every time you try and make a decision, you're not making it out of guilt and what ifs and all those things, can you give people a few tools to move out of what if mode and out of guilt mode?
Yes. In fact, in my book, The Beauty Blueprint, the 7 chapters will take you through a step-by-step process of really rediscovering, redefining who you are, what you want out of life, and then overcoming those fears. And the tools I share in the book, for example, the what ifs, you know, write down exactly what is coming up for you. You know, what if I fail? What if other people think I'm crazy? What if I leave my job and I don't find another one? What if I'm not able to support my family? You know, all these things that come up when we're thinking about change for the better. And so what I ask you to do is write down all those things that you have or, you know, excuses that you come up with. You know, I can't do this because of this. And then write down the opposite of that. What if you take a chance and everything in your life that you want comes to fruition? What would your life look like? You know, what if you take your kitty to someone who will take them in, give them a better home? And, you know, not that your home isn't great. I'm saying that, you know, give them a place that is a better atmosphere
for the cat.
Her. Right.
You might want her inside,
for her.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
And what is, you know, what if, you know, the opposite of your fear comes true? Because most likely that is what will occur. But if we stay stuck because we're going to believe the negative, then that's when our lives become so difficult, and they don't have to be. So take those chances, and there's no such thing as a mistake. Every single thing we do is an opportunity to learn and grow from. And, you know, when we look back and we say, you know, let's just say we were in a relationship that wasn't serving us, but we think, you know what? What if I leave this person and I never find someone else? Or what if I leave this person and I can't support myself financially? You know, well, what if you leave this person and you go on to find your ultimate soulmate? You know, what if you can find the means to take care of yourself because you are capable of doing anything? You can go get an extra job or whatever it is. I'm just saying that, you know, that's happened a lot in my coaching circles, women that were in relationships that weren't serving them. And, you know, what happens is when you take the steps towards what you want and release those negatives, you find that really when you trust, everything will work out okay. It's just that fear and that fear that blocks us from moving forward. So that's what I do. I just have everyone write down the opposite and describe in detail how fabulous the situation will be when the opposite of your fear occurs.
Okay. So let's get some personal examples here. So you and I can share some of the things about us. For example, I'm going to give an example of 14 years ago maybe, I quit a pretty high-profile job. I got divorced. I moved from Minnesota to California, got remarried, took my two kids from my previous marriage, got remarried, and made a tremendous change in my life. And it felt like back in Minnesota, I left like a racetrack trail, you know, or whatever. You know what I mean? There was like a trail of, I blazed a trail, and they were in the fumes of it all. Like, where'd she go, and what'd she just do kind of thing. And it took my family, I think they're still not caught up quite with what I did. And it's 14 years later. Have you ever, but I can say with great certainty at that moment, I would never have done so many different things had I not done that.
Right. So true. It's about taking that risk.
Can you articulate that a little bit better?
Yes. No, that's fantastic. In fact, you know, I was literally living on welfare 7 years ago because I left a marriage that was definitely not working for me. And when I left, I lost everything financially, and that's when I was talking about going under the covers, and I was really, really, really scared. Well, years later, about, let's say, 3 years ago, maybe, 3 years ago, I got remarried. And I moved to Minnesota, funny you mentioned Minnesota, with my husband because I was offered a job making more money than I'd ever thought I could make in my life, and it was a lot of money. And I had been at that time working, doing what I'm doing now, which was giving workshops, and I was on TV doing segments for women and helping them live a better life, and I was a life coach. But this job was so much money, and it was on TV that I took it, thinking that it would help me get back on my feet financially. So my husband, of course, thought, yeah, let's go, and we took all five kids, moved up to Minnesota. 6 weeks after I started this job, I realized I'd made a huge mistake. I was having panic attacks. I was having anxiety attacks because the job was the exact opposite
really
of
cold.
Who I was. It was awful. For other people, it would have been the perfect job. For me, it was awful. I was selling like spoons and cuckoo clocks overnight on a shopping television network, and they are wonderful people, and the hosts there are fabulous, but I could not do it. And so that's when I said, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't quit. I'm just going to have to stick this out. And I was talking to my husband, and he said, well, you teach others to take chances and take risks. What would you do if you could do anything? And I said, I would write a book. I want to speak. I just came back from Wayne Dyer, seeing him at the Hay House event. I met Louise Hay. I said, that is what I feel I was born to do. I'm a teacher. I want to help others. And so he said, well, let's do it. And I said, well, what if everyone thinks I'm crazy? How am I going to write a book? I mean, that's insane.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, all these things. And then finally I got out of that and said, wait a minute, what if? And six months later, after working diligently on creating my website, getting back on television, starting to create workshops again, I went to a Hay House workshop, and I was, a few weeks after that, I was given a book deal and my radio show. And that is now, you know, it's been, my book came out last November, and my radio show's doing very well, and I am now speaking on tour with the Hay House authors, with Wayne Dyer, and it's unflipping real.
Unbelievable,
that
isn't it?
Even
but
happened.
Let's go back for one second. Let me stop you for one second. Think about what you would be doing if you were still in that marriage, and also think about what how your life changed with being remarried and his insight and all of those things. And isn't it amazing how people contribute to our lives in different ways?
Yes.
And but it doesn't mean bad or good or evil or bad wife or husband or whatever. But isn't it amazing how we meet the different people we meet in life?
It is so true. That is such a good point, Elizabeth, because my ex-husband, I'm so grateful for him and the life that we had together. It just wasn't meant to be long-term. And, you know, because when I look back, I look at the good. I don't look at the bad. We just were not a match. And had I not taken the steps to follow my heart, I would not be doing what I'm called to do on this earth. And, you know, if I had let those what-ifs stand in my way, I would have never been here now. And so that's what I teach others, is that to me is beauty. You know, I've gone from painting, you know, makeup on the people's faces to helping them tap into what really makes them beautiful inside, and that's just being true to you and what you want and not blocking that life that's there waiting for you, because it's there, and it's all you have to do is just tap into it.
You
it's
know.
It's like a light switch went off.
You know, the other night, it was probably a week ago now, I was at my sister's wedding, and I was getting ready, and I had my beautiful purple dress that Wayne Scott Lucas helped me pick out and all this stuff, and I was just like, I was putting on some false eyelashes. I'm like, for some reason, I'm like, okay, I'll put these on. It could be kind of cool. It makes your eyelashes prettier and everything. I was there for like 15 minutes, and they ended up being stuck in my hair. They went everywhere but on my eye. They got stuck on my fingers, stuck on my lips, stuck on my hair, and everything. And I was thinking of you going, you know, okay, I don't know how to put on false eyelashes. I'm 43 years old, and I just still can't do it no matter what. Whatever. At some point, somebody will teach me how to do this. I'll sit, listen, and pay attention. And it's funny how it must not be important to me, because if it was important to me, I would have learned it by now. And that was what I said to myself in the mirror. I'm like, this must not be important enough to me to learn how to do this.
It's true. And, you know, I just posted the article about Condoleezza Rice on your website. And, you know, we were talking about that when she was in my makeup chair last week, because I was the head makeup artist for the Republican National Convention. And I'm not a Republican or a Democrat.
Doesn't
I'm independent.
Matter. It's cool
I go
that you're
for
doing
whoever
makeup.
I feel. Yeah, but I've worked with world leaders my whole, you know, career.
So cool.
And they, because I'm here in Tampa, they asked me to be the head of the makeup department. And so I did. And when she was sitting in my chair, we were talking about how, you know, a lot of people wanted to put eyelashes on her and things like that, and that doesn't make her feel comfortable. And so she doesn't. And that's the thing. That's what I teach women, is really it's about what makes you feel good about you. And in my book, I take you through a process to define your own personal style, so that way when you go shopping, you know what works for you. Because just because eyelashes are in right now doesn't mean you have to put them on. But, you know, sometimes we look at them and we go, oh, those look kind of neat. But then when you put them on, you think, oh, my gosh, get them off my face. But, yeah, I mean, the most beautiful woman in the room could be wearing sweatpants. It's because she feels self-confident with who she is, you know. And so whatever makes you feel beautiful is what you should do. That's my opinion.
Isn't that funny? Because twice I've been on stage, one in Las Vegas and one in Chicago for pageants and so forth, and somebody else has done my hair and makeup, and they've always put really big hair extensions in my hair. They've always put huge false eyelashes on me to the point where I feel like top eyelid is so heavy, I'm squinting and all this stuff. And it's funny because I started to kind of doll myself up like that for my sister's wedding. And I stopped, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This is not a pageant. We're not being judged. We're going as Elizabeth to this. And
right.
I hardly wore any makeup. The strongest thing I did to myself was maybe put, like, more of a cat eye on the top lid, because I think that's cool when the little thing goes out the eyelid. And other than that, I just put on I actually put on chapstick and lip gloss. No false eyelashes, brown eyeshadow and everything. And I said, this isn't about the way my makeup is done. This is about her dress, her hair. I did that a little bit. And
right.
How absolutely glowing she is, not so much about the way she looks, but the way she feels, and my sister. And I'm like, this is so her moment to just be beautiful and radiant and everything, no matter, I mean, she could have had a paper bag on and get married, and she would have been just beautiful. She was just so happy and everything. And so I just took a giant step back, and it was very interesting because the whole wedding, I just kind of took a giant step back, and instead of, I don't know, I just observed and listened instead of talked.
Right. Yes. And, you know, and that is such a beautiful moment you share, because it's the truth. When we're in our, you know, in our beautiful moments, when we are feeling good about ourselves, when we're happy, when we're in touch with who we are, that's when we glow. And, you know, you not hiding behind a mask and saying, wait a minute, this is Elizabeth, and I'm here to show up for my sister.
Exactly.
And just acknowledging your own beauty, you know, that is, to me, I mean, that is the epitome of true beauty. That
I
really
had so
is.
So much fun at that wedding, because I just, I, it was one of those moments where normally I would have really, like, cared, like, to the hair out of place what I looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat back and looked in the mirror. I'm like, I really don't care for some reason. And, you know, and I was fine. You know, if you look at the pictures, my hair was fine. Everything was fine. But I didn't sit there and stress in front of the mirror or anything. I instead pulled up a heart. And you know what I mean? And just went to the event with my camera and listened and just paid attention to everybody and made sure I talked to everybody and listened to what was going on in their life and everything. And not one person said to me, my God, where are your false eyelashes? They're missing.
Right. Exactly. And probably every person you saw just thought you were radiating beauty, and just because you're beautiful, your soul, you're beautiful outwardly and your soul is beautiful. It's just, that's exactly right. Just focusing on what's important. And also when you look in the mirror, focusing on what's beautiful about you, and that you don't need all that stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with makeup. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing your hair and your clothes, and it's fun, and it makes you, some of us feel pretty. And then some people don't feel comfortable with all of that. And if we put them in full makeup and big hair, they would feel completely self-conscious the entire time. So, yeah, it's about looking in the mirror and seeing your beauty and then acknowledging your day and your life and the experiences that are right in front of you.
But it was so fun to look around at everybody, just everybody having fun, and nobody, and I think it's part about being around family too, is that no one's sitting there going, oh my gosh, you know, look at the color of your hair or whatever. You know,
yeah.
People seem to, when you're, it's a different, like, media mode. Like if you're on TV and you're a news anchor or anything like that, you know, I think sometimes you get more letters about the color of your hair than you do about the way you deliver the news, for example.
Right. Exactly.
And when you're in that setting, it's like people, it was really interesting because people were just happy that everybody was there, and we were together, and our dad's a stroke survivor, and so it was stroke survivor and a kidney cancer survivor, so it was extremely cool that he was even alive and there and everything, and I don't know how to bundle that up and bottle it up and teach it, but it was a very cool experience, and I think you do. I think you know how to articulate it much better than I do.
No, you've done a great job, and that's, you know, just exactly what, you know, I feel that most of us lose sight of, and that is what's really important in our lives, and what makes us feel good, and acknowledging the moment. And like you just said, your father, you know, my dad's going to have major surgery on Monday, and I've been spending a lot of time with him lately, because really when it comes down to it, it's about love in our hearts, and it's about the connections we have with others, and it's about, you know, if all those shiny objects went away, what would we have? And so taking our focus off of the superficial, that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, we all don't, you know, if we have nice cars and a nice house and we take care of our hair and our makeup, that's not what I'm talking about. It's just that when that focus become so strong on those shiny objects and we lose sight of what's really important, that's when we start to look in the mirror and we think, oh, what's wrong? I don't look good. What happened to me? And, you know, so many people are turning to, plastic surgery or injections and doing things to cover up what's really, what they're feeling they're missing on the inside. And so there's that balance. And you know, but really take stock in what you're grateful for in your life. And take stock in what's beautiful about you, because, and, you know, those in your life and what you do have rather than what you don't have, because that's what it's really all about, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. Is there anything, okay, so we have 5 minutes. I just want to give you an eye on time because I keep looking up going, I can't believe there's just 5 minutes left.
I know, next time we'll do a two-hour show.
Oh, yeah, it's, whatever, it's all good. What else do you want to say about strong, successful, and sexy, or Hay House, or your book, or anything like that? What else? What have you got going on? What are you doing? Give us a quick update.
Gosh, I have so much going on. I'm so grateful. I've got some coaching circles starting in October, which I'm really happy about, and those are my website. If you want to go through my program with me, I take you through the steps of my book for 4 weeks, and it's a telecourse. So that's on michellephillips.com. And then with Hay House, I am going to be speaking at the I Can Do It Ignite conference. I hope you can come, Elizabeth.
I'm so excited.
It's in New York. I know, it's November 3rd and 4th, and I'm going to be with some incredible speakers, a lot of new Hay House authors. We're going to be speaking 20-minute increments, and Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay and Cheryl Richardson will be there. And then my radio show every week, and I'm just, I can't even explain, I mean, words can't even begin to share how grateful I am, but, you know, the most important thing is that if anyone does want support, feel free to email me on my website, michellephillips.com, and just hit contact, or you can go to my Facebook fan page, because I'm old school, it says fan page on there, but it's Michelle Phillips fan page, because that's where I post a lot of my telecourses, and I also answer emails from people all over the world. Anyone who's going through a difficult time, I'm willing to, you know, share with them some insight if I can via email, or invite them to be a part of my coaching circles or to call into my show, because it's just, I mean, my mission here is to really help people live lives that are, you know, with meaning and purpose, and to be happier and radiate that outward. That radiance factor is really, that's what beauty is all about to me.
What are some of the most important things that you have learned from those 50 women, or whatever, however many it is, what are things that get taught to you?
Mm-hmm. Good question. I think the first thing is that support is key in life. That when you have people that support you, unconditionally love you, then you can do anything, and that's what we've created with the coaching circles of people that don't even know each other from all over the world that reach out and share their stories so that you know that you're not alone in feeling the things that you do. And that just helps you move past those things that are making you feel stuck. The second thing is I've watched people's lives changed so profoundly that you, meeting these women, you would never think that they were capable of creating such amazing lives and have done so. And I've got just gobs of testimonials. So anything's possible, and that we all have everything that we are looking for inside of us. It's not outside of us. It's inside of us. And I mean, you know, I worked with James Twyman last weekend in San Diego, and he said, if you're looking for enlightenment, you already are. It's all inside of you. And he's so right. I mean, that's really what I've learned from everyone, is that everything that we're looking for is already inside of us. So just tap into it and figure out what that is. And that's, it's simple, and it's a freedom that you can't even explain once you tap into it. And, you know, if you need support in doing that, that's what I'm here for. And my book gives you that support.
I love your book. Your book is one of my favorites, the Beauty Blueprint. And
Beauty
for those
Blueprint.
Listening,
Amazon.
Yeah, we're going to cut off live here in about 90 seconds, but we're going to keep taping for a few minutes more because we're not quite done. I have a couple more things I want to talk to you about. But for those listening, we're going to cut off live to you, but you can listen on replay to the last few minutes of the show because I've got a few things I wanted to ask you. But Beauty Blueprint is this book that you've written, and it's available wherever books are sold. And Mm-hmm. What I really love about it is it's kind of pocket size, and I confess, I carry this. I do not carry books around with me unless they're incredible to me, and I actually carry this book around in my purse.
It went with me to Minnesota.
Yeah, it's pocket size. It fits in my purse. And what I like about the book is it's almost like a reference book. Like I can, you can certainly sit down and read the thing from cover to cover, which I've done a couple times. But I also find myself going back. It's highlighted. It's getting kind of dinged up actually. But I've got sticky notes. I've got everything, and it really has become. It's more like a beauty Bible to me in a way. You call it beauty blueprint, but I mean, I really love this book. So, if you don't have her book, make sure you grab a copy of Michelle Phillips' book. It's called Beauty Blueprint, and you can go Google that and find it. So for those of you cutting off with us, we've got 10 seconds here, and I just want to say thank you for listening.
Thank you.
I would just want to wind up with you two here and just say thanks for being with us today. And I love what you have to say there about what I wanted to talk to you about before we go is the support network that you've created, because I want you to touch on that if you can one more time, because I so totally agree that support is key. And I think sometimes as women, we forget that everything is right there within us. We're looking, a lot of us get stuck in that, stuck mode. I don't know what stuck mode is, but you know it when you're in it. You feel like you're not good, you don't have the skills the other lady has across the street, you don't have a cool enough job, you're whatever it is, and you just start to feel down on yourself.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, or lost, you know, you lose touch with who you are. You don't even know who you are anymore. And, you know, that happened to me when I went to my first coaching circle. You know, who are you? And I was defining myself by what I did for a living or that I was a mom. And that's not who we are. And those are the things we do, and those are the roles we play, and they're amazing and they're wonderful, but what's the true essence of who you are? And so in my book and in my programs, we actually go through this step by step so that you can really get in touch with who you are again. And so with the support system, what I do with my coaching circles is we meet every week for 4 weeks, and it's one hour a week. And I also coach people on the calls, but most importantly, I take them through this process. And what happens is I set up a Facebook page that's private so that they can all talk to each other from week to week between the calls. And so when they do the exercises on their own, not only do they share what's going on with them during the process on the phone, but they also share and get support from each other on Facebook. And what's so incredible is that every single time, I mean, what happens is people go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you shared that story, or thank you so much for being open and sharing what you're going through, because I'm going through it too, and I don't want to tell anybody, and I don't want to talk to my friends and my family, but I have a safe place here where I can really be free to express who I am and what's really going on for me. And then once they are able to do that, they realize, oh, I'm not crazy. I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me. And they feel this. They feel more confident. And then they start making the changes because they realize, gosh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. And so when you really say, you know, when you start loving yourself again and accepting yourself, I mean, that total self-acceptance, your life changes so profoundly. I mean, it's incredible.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Mind-blowing. That's what happens.
Yeah, I just want to make sure people really hear that. So if you're listening and you feel, I know we've touched on a lot of different things here, including my cat, but, you know.
I love your kitty. She's going to have a good home within the next week.
I hear you. I can feel it, too. You know, that I just want to make sure people know that this is a really safe zone, and people can visit you on your website, which is michellephillips.com, and contact you. And I hope that my wish for everybody listening is to really sign up for one of your coaching classes, because I think it'll change your life. I really do. Buy her book and sign up for a coaching class. Listen to a radio show. Listen to this radio show again. And we're really here to just help you just help you, I think, is the best way to help each other. Help you, help each other,
exactly.
You help us. I mean, it all goes round and round. So I
know,
thank
and
you
Elizabeth,
again.
Kudos to you for all you do. I love you so much, and I'm so grateful to be a part of your network and our friendship. I cherish it. And just thank you so much for having me on the show.
I wish we lived on the same street, darn it. But
I know. Well, you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
All right, lots of love, and thank you, and mommy mode. I'm going back into mommy mode. I don't know about you, but I've got dinner and baseball.
Me
and,
too.
Yeah.
I've got a daughter to pick up and one to take to the doctor's.
Okay, all right. Lots
all right,
of love.
Sweetheart.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening,
bye-bye.
And happy back here into the fall programming, and please visit michellephillips.com and sign up for her coaching sessions, and her book, again, is Beauty Blueprint. We just want to thank her for being with us. Take care, everybody. And we've actually got a radio show scheduled for tomorrow. We have Richard Probst with us. He is a movie critic, and he's written a wonderful book, and he's on a tour to help people. We're going to tell you all about him tomorrow. He'll be with us for the full hour. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day, and thank you again to Michelle, the beautiful Michelle Phillips, and the wise Michelle Phillips, and make sure you join her November 3rd and 4th there in New York. Look at hayhouse.com for more information there. All right, take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.